Right, good day, and welcome to yet another edition of the Citizen Talk. And this is where we invite different people to come and help us to unpack some of the most difficult issues that the country is faced with. And without a doubt, the last couple of days or even weeks, the focus has been on the governing African National Congress, the ANC, as the party builds up and gets ready for its much anticipated 55th National Elective Conference, which will be held in Nasrec here in Johannesburg. That's going to be at the end of this year, in fact, around the 16th, from the 16th, 15th of December, around about there. And we thought, let's invite one more time our colleague here, the Citizen, who is the political editor of the Citizen newspaper, Eric Naki, to come and, help us, understand, what has been happening now. You know, we're just coming out of weeks and weeks of nomination processes, where people are, saying, hey, no, we feel so-and-so is ready, to take the ANC forward beyond the December conference. And we thought, Norman, let's invite Eric Naki, who's been keeping a very close eye on the nomination process of the ANC. Eric, good afternoon to you, sir, and always a pleasure to have you with us.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Steve. And to the our viewers, our listeners.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Now, Eric, I've said it in my intro. We've seen, the nomination process, taking place over the last couple of weeks. What's been your impression? What's really stood out for you so far? What have you been observing?
Good afternoon. My observation really has been that the race that is about to happen is said to be more intense than the previous one. There has been a lot of candidates criticizing each other, something that was that didn't happen before. They used to just campaign, but without directly criticizing or naming names. But this time, there appears to be some candidates who are prepared to just say so and so is wrong. You know, in the past, it didn't happen that way. It's an indication that really there are going to be really tensions because it's from the look of things, it's one side that is criticizing the other. The other one is not necessarily criticizing, and it's particular individuals that are doing that. Especially it's those in the that are contesting for the presidency. It's the presidential candidates.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you look down the bottom, down to other candidates, there is really no real criticism. Yeah, and another observation is that all the six positions are being contested.
Interesting. But before we get to that, because that's a very interesting one, we were speaking about it off air as well. Now, when one looks at, all the criticism that's been, leveled against, each other, I'm talking about the different groups or, factions in the ANC, would you say that forms part of, that battle for the soul of the ANC, or is it a battle for the soul of individuals in the ANC?
It's, in my observation, it's a mix, it's a mixture of both. You know, you mix individual interests and the soul of the ANC.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about the soul of the ANC, each one would like to be the leader of the party. But in reality, it's more about the individual interests, which actually encompass the fact that one side is seen as being the ones, for instance, that are pursuing another camp.
Yeah.
To say they must be prosecuted, they must be put on a step aside. So there are it's a kind of retaliation, which is more about individual approach, unlike saying that it's the interest of the ANC.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it, none of them appear to be really doing this for the sake of the ANC.
Yeah.
Because the issues that they raise, they tend to raise issues that had been existing anyway.
Yeah.
You ask yourself why all along these people had not been raising these issues.
Mm-hmm.
They raise them only now when they are going to contest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those is the question of the step aside.
Yeah.
The step aside had been in existence for the last 2 years.
Yes.
But to some of the candidates now, it's something that is they are beginning to question how it's applied.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's applied selectively, but when you look at it, this thing has been applied for some time.
Mm-hmm.
There are leaders who are on suspension already,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the same people had not been questioning that, but now that they are contesting elections, they start to question. Those are the things that you feel. Okay, it's not really about the interests of the party, because if it was about the interest, they had the opportunity to raise them at the National Executive Committee meetings to say, guys, compromise, this step aside is not right. And you don't hear anything in the past debates to say, in the NEC, certain leaders were raising to say this thing is not the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even after subsequent to some leaders that were suspended or put on step aside, you don't hear that there were other NEC meetings where these same people had been raising this thing. So in my observation, really, it's a mix of the two.
Sure. And that again also, it doesn't augur well for, you know, the renewal, you know, that unity talk of the ANC, because honestly speaking, when one looks at the situation, the ANC is still not united.
Indeed. In fact, it's even more divided now than at Nasrec 1.
Sure.
At Nasrec 1, the divisions were actually two factions. It was one faction following Zuma, Jacob Zuma. Another faction following Cyril Ramaphosa. But this time, they are scattered. The RET itself is scattered.
Sure.
It's almost non-existent in some areas, but it is lacking leadership. There's no champion for the right radical economic transformation. Even those who were the spokespeople of that, where are they now? You don't hear anything. Nothing from Carl Niehaus, nothing from Ace Makhashule, nothing from others who were actually the vocal people of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they quiet towards the conference? You know, they should have. This is a time for them to push for the RET.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, RET seems to be depleted on the ground. When you look at the nominations, look at the provinces, the discussions in the provinces, the RET supporters are nowhere to be found. In fact, they end up supporting people that are just emerging. They don't have their own people. For instance, in the last provincial executive, provincial conference, take for example in the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape fielded Oscar Mabuya.
Yes.
And then there was another group that fielded Matikizel. Yes. But Matikizel was not necessarily standing for RET. But the RET people who are represented by Mlibo Qobushiane and Andy Lelungisa, they ended up supporting Matikizel, who is not an RET. So the same thing if you go to Northwest. Who is championing RET there?
Yes.
Because Mahoma Pele is nowhere to be found in terms of leading the ANC in that province. So you go to other provinces that had that, even in Mpumalanga, where it used to be strong under Mabuza then. It's nowhere. There is nobody there who's talking about RET.
Sure.
So RET is almost finished. It's only individuals that are left to talk occasionally. That is why people like Lindiwe Sisulu at the beginning of the year spoke the language of the RET. She was trying to make herself the new champion of the RET. But seemingly it did not work because the RET people did not necessarily support her. and then they came up with Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, but the RET people were not interested.
Hmm.
Even when Jacob Zuma tried to actually campaign or bring Nkosazana to the RET people,
yes,
they were not interested, even in KZN.
Hmm.
RET opted for Zweli Mkhize. If you look at how the Taliban in KZN.
And talking about Zweli, at some point he appeared to be on the side of Cyril, right?
Yes. He was on the side of Cyril. They were going together all along until the digital files things came. And then he was a suspect in that.
Mm.
And then Cyril removed him from the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started to adopt an attitude towards Cyril, to say that, to identify the problems that are linked to Cyril Ramaphosa, including also on the issue of step aside.
Yes.
And he started to campaign in KZN.
Mm.
Now he's opposing Cyril. Mm. It means now he's no longer on the Cyril side.
Yes.
He has been, he's safe now under the RET, which are the Taliban's, the governing clique in KwaZulu-Natal, the PEC there. You know, he's supported by them. Mainly, but I've not heard other provinces being vocal about Zweli Mkhize. I wonder if Zweli Mkhize has support only in KZN. From my interview with analysts, they said they don't see him having a support outside of KZN. There may be individuals within RET, in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and everywhere else, but they are not in big numbers. It's just individuals. In the Eastern Cape, there may be Mlibo Qoboshiane, there may be Andy Lebongisa, somewhere else there may be Mpumalanga, but those are individual, a few individuals. But if you look at the province itself, provinces have got, for instance, Eastern Cape has got Cyril as a leader, as their choice. They have got Cyril is also preferred in Mpumalanga and in Mpopo and Gauteng. You know, he's a choice for those. Zweli Mkhize, when you look which other province outside of KZN, you listen, you don't really get it, you know. So, but when you look at the recent list of these leagues, ANC Youth League, Women's League, and the veterans, the Youth League, or what is called now
the National Task Team.
They prefer Mkhize. He has become their choice. He's because he's on top of their list.
Yeah.
Which brings the question: now, does the ANC Youth League, in its entirety, supporting Zweli Mkhize?
Hmm.
But when we speak to people on the ground from the ANC Youth League, they say, no, we don't know that, because it has never come to us as Youth League members. And when I spoke to some members of the task team itself, who are on top, I said, are you guys rejecting Cyril? Are you saying with that list, Cyril must go? They said, no ways. We never said that. We don't say Cyril must go. That list does not reflect what we stand for as Youth League. That list represents actually us as people who voted at that time. We had these leaders, this list of candidates. We decided as NYTT leadership to just vote among ourselves so that we can come up with a name. So Cyril came up, then Cyril was number two, you know, others followed that. So that NYTT list may not necessarily be what the Youth League stands for. It was a leadership view at that particular meeting, you know. When you go down to the other leagues, the veterans and the women.
Because the Women's League also, it currently is an interim structure, right?
Yeah, it's an interim structure. It's a task team.
Yeah.
But even that one doesn't have Zweli as a leader. They have Cyril on top. You know, for instance, if you look at the women have got Cyril Ramaphosa on top.
Yeah.
They have Thandi Modise as deputy. But go now to the veterans.
Yeah.
The veterans, they have got Cyril Ramaphosa.
Uh-huh.
They have Phumzile Mlambo-Ngoka.
And Phumzile, obviously, some people within the ANC are saying, no.
Yeah.
This person left us. You know, she went to cope.
You went to cope. Which to me, when I look at that,
yeah.
It's been petty. It's been petty. How many people came from cope and returned to the ANC?
Yes.
How many other people returned? What's wrong actually with returning to the ANC? In fact, they should be happy. You know, that she was back in the ANC. And she's also well-respected
yes.
in the ANC. They always use him in some certain tasks as members of the ANC. But it's clear that there is that kind of attitude. Once you come back, there are those who say we don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, which is contrary to the renewal of the ANC kind of attitude.
Yes. Interesting. And I'd like us to really look at I mean, all these positions, the top six, at some point one had thought that perhaps maybe it's only going to be the presidency, you know, position that's going to be hotly contested, maybe SG as well. But now it looks like, everyone wants everything, right?
Yeah.
But I want us to, just before we start looking at the presidency position, let's look at the deputy president of the ANC, the sitting deputy president,
yes.
Didi Mabuza. Many people are asking, what's going through his mind at this moment? Because he's been one of the most quiet people.
Yes.
Who hasn't said much.
Yes.
Leading up to the conference.
Yes.
What do you read? You know, what do you think is going through his mind? Does he have something up, you know, his sleeves, a plan, I don't know, of some sort? I mean, we all know how he came up in 2017, you know, as that unity kind of a guy.
Yes.
You know, what do you think is going through his mind, Eric?
I think some steam as a leader in terms of support. You know, I think he has lost his constituency in Mpumalanga. That is where the problem is.
Yes.
We can't even say now he has got something that he has got. He has got some hidden plan.
Yeah.
No, because there is no plan in that he doesn't have a constituency anymore.
Sure.
The constituency now is in the hands of the current PEC, which he isolated. You know, when he came to Luthuli House or was elected deputy president, he abandoned his fellow PEC members like Mandla Ndlovu and others. He was left there with Lindi Wenjalinjali,
yes.
Someone was backing him somehow. But in reality, you will find that after he abandoned those people actually were the leadership that organized Mpumalanga after he left. Which is a danger because he should have, if he was smart on this, he should have kept his contact with Mpumalanga. But he remained at national level and never worried about Mpumalanga. But those guys were elected and they became the new force in Mpumalanga, led by Mandla Ndlovu. So now, by the time he went back now, he wants support. His support is no more there.
Sure.
You know, there's no body in Mpumalanga. There's not one region, as far as I'm concerned, that has denominated Didi Mabuza.
Sure.
Even his own region,
Ihlanzeni,
has not nominated him.
Yeah.
Imagine if you are not nominated by your own region.
I
think his branch number 45, ward number 45, has nominated him. And a few others. But I don't think it's sufficient for him to be a candidate, you know, because it's not the entire region of Ehlanzeni that has nominated. So Didi Mabuza is really struggling. At some stage, he visited Jacob Zuma in Gandla. I am sure, in fact, according to already the reports that came at that time, were saying that he went to Jay-Z to apologize for supporting the way he handled Nasrec, the first Nasrec in 2017. He's moved to the Ramaphosa side.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently things didn't go well there because Jacob Zuma, instead of endorsing Didi, Nkosazana, which means nothing happened. He didn't say, okay, let me push Didi. Because he came to me, but he pushed Nkosazana. So Didi, I don't see him succeeding this time around. Even Cyril Ramaphosa's camp has abandoned him because they realized that there is nothing they could get out of him. He's no more a factor. They just abandoned him. He's alone. He's on his own. He's nowhere on the list of various provinces.
And talking about, you know, candidates and so forth, which are the provinces that you think, you know, have a lot of influence, you know, in terms of where the sting could go?
First of all, it's KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah.
It has got a lot. In fact, it has got more members than any other province. Altogether, KwaZulu-Natal has got, in terms of delegates, delegates, KwaZulu-Natal has got 900.
Sure.
But that 900 are not all coming. There are others that were disqualified because of some technicalities that happened. I think KwaZulu-Natal has got just in excess of 700 delegates that will come. The next province, next influential province is Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape has got over 600. I think it's about 650 approximately. Then followed by Limpopo. So those three provinces, if you got support in those three provinces, you would win.
Sure.
Altogether, if those three provinces you got support for any position, you win. Make sure that you at least have support in at least two of those provinces.
Those provinces, yeah.
KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. Maybe followed by Gauteng. Because, But the fact is, it's difficult to have support in all three. Because they have got different positions. You know, Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal don't see leadership in the same way. KZN would prefer a KZN person. But Eastern Cape, for instance, would prefer Cyril, same as Limpopo, prefer Cyril. Therefore, these two provinces, when you put their numbers together, they exceed that of KZN.
Wow, interesting.
Imagine if there is another province that doesn't prefer the KZN position. It means the KZN may have bigger number, but without the support of two other provinces.
And I mean, talking about, still on the issue of provinces, you've got the Western Cape, for instance, Free State, who still have outstanding, you know, provincial they are also still run on, you know, an interim basis, those structures there. Let's pin our focus. I don't want us to talk more about the Western Cape because, I don't know, there's still a lot of work it appears to be done there. But Free State, you know, that's where your Ace Magashules of this world, you know, come from. How important is the Free State for the ANC? And will they be allowed to participate in the conference, in the event that their provincial, you know, issues have not yet, you know, been resolved? What do you make of the Free State?
I think the Free State is important for the ANC. And the two remaining provinces are important. But those task teams in the two provinces have failed to do the tasks they were appointed to do, to mobilize, to organize branch general meetings, to organize regional conferences, to organize the provincial conferences, so as to elect the PEC. There is no new PEC in both.
Sure.
You know, while other provinces were holding conferences at the beginning of the year, those two were far behind. They had task teams that did not do their job. And therefore, it depends on the ANC. They may attend as observers if the ANC decides, but I doubt if they will be able to participate as voters.
Yeah.
But one thing that became clear to us, ranches in good standing, even in those provinces, they will be able to attend and vote. You know, if their nominations have been received and if they have delegates. But unless the ANC has not actually received their processes like election of delegates.
Yes.
But branches do qualify, even if the PEC or the TASTIM doesn't qualify.
Oh.
Because according to Pule Mabe, this is a conference of branches. The same thing happened in the Eastern Cape. There was a stage when there was a stalemate around going to the provincial conference.
Yes.
Somebody, the provincial conference of the ANC was mainly conducted by branches. The regions didn't participate, like, for instance, Kubusana.
Yes.
They could not participate because there were a lot of problems there, Kubusana and another region. But branches just went over the region and went to the conference. That may be the case even
in the Free State.
In the Free State and Western Cape. But it depends now, because I heard that the nominations closed on the 7th.
Yeah.
This week.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it was on Monday.
Mm.
So they closed, there are no more nominations to happen.
Mm. And I suppose that's one of the issues that will be high on the agenda when the ANC NEC meets this weekend. Folks, you still tuned in to the Citizen Talk, and we are in conversation with the political editor for the Citizen newspaper, that's Eric Naki. He's here to help us, you know, unpack some of the most difficult issues, you know, pertaining to the ANC as the governing party builds up to the 55th National Elective Conference, which of course will be held in Nasrec, Johannesburg, from around the 16th of December. Now, Eric, let's now focus and take our time looking at all these different top six positions that are, you know, being contested, hotly contested. Now, let's start off with the position of the president. It's not going to be easy for Cyril, right?
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's time. I think there's a lot of mobilization from both sides, especially the other side of Zolim Kize. I think Zolim Kize has moved so fast in terms of support and mobilization in KwaZulu-Natal, mainly.
And
being supported by a province like that, your chances are very good that you may
emerge. Yeah.
But the problem with Zweli this time is unlike Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Remember in Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma versus Cyril? It was a kind of a neck and neck outcome. But this time, you know, because it was not only KZN, it was Northwest, it was Free State.
Yes.
Those provinces were fully behind
NDZ.
Because they were run by Ace. The other one was run by Supra Mapelo. So that neck and neck thing was possible. But you ask yourself if Zweli will be neck and neck with Syria. With KwaZulu-Natal
only,
you know,
that's a
question that people don't really consider when they look at Cyril is going to be beaten by Zweli. Zweli is the next. Some are already saying Zweli is the next president. You know, unless Zweli manages to canvass other provinces, you know, canvass the structures, the women, the youth, and the veterans, and canvass them. But already those people have got their lists, and he is not there, you know. And if in the Eastern Cape, they've got their own slate, Free State, not Free State, Gauteng,
yes.
Limpopo, Mpumalanga, they've got their own lists. So Zweli doesn't appear there. So you ask yourself, if Zweli wins, he would win because of which provinces, which other provinces. Not even the leagues have got him.
Sure.
That's the reality that many analysts don't consider when they look at the situation. And one thing that they talk about, which may be a factor as well, is the question of Phala-Phala.
I was about to ask, what impact is this scandal likely to have or continue to have on Cyril's ambitions?
Yeah, it's going to have an impact, but it's not going to be a huge impact in that nothing has emerged yet about whether he committed some crime or not. It's still a rumor, is still something that is discussed outside of the ANC. Even within the ANC, it's discussed. It's an issue among those that are opposing him, you know. And usually in the ANC conference, if you think about it, problems that involve leaders are not issues that are become a factor at conferences. Because ANCs run along factional line. If my faction is trained to follow me, no matter what I do, no matter how wrong I do, they will follow me. That happened in Polokwane 2007 when Jacob Zuma contested Thabo Mbeki. Jacob Zuma was facing a litany of charges, corruption. There were also even rape charges at that time. But he emerged. That says to me, in the ANC structures, that these things that are talked about by people, they don't matter. To the ANC, to Ramaphosa faction, Palapala doesn't matter.
As long as my future is secure.
My future is secured. If Cyril wins, my future is secured.
Sure.
If Zweli Mkhize wins, my future is secured. That is how ANC operates. It's us, analysts, journalists, observers, that are worried about Palapala. But those people at the conference, Palapala may not even be raised as an issue. It may not be raised as an issue at the conference. Look at how these, maybe we're going to ask something about the step aside. Maybe I mustn't talk about that. No, the question, look at how the whole issue of step aside was handled at the policy conference, you know. People were saying the policy conference is going to raise.
It's going to be high on the agenda.
It was discussed, but the conference decided it's this thing,
important,
that thing must stay. They said, in fact, they took a decision. It must stay. It will stay as it is. So if step aside was not changed at the policy conference, because it's a policy. That was a platform to change step aside. So when you go to national conference, National Conference has to adopt the policy that were decided at the policy conference. And the decision that was taken at the policy conference was to leave
step aside as it is.
Unless someone from the from those that are opposing Cyril raises it there and say, I would like this to be discussed. Even Mashatile indicated that they may discuss it if it's raised. You know, it will be on the agenda. But whether it will win, it's another question. It may be defeated like it was defeated
at the policy conference. Wow, interesting stuff indeed. Now, we're moving now to the position of deputy, which is currently occupied by Didi Mabuza. We spoke about Didi earlier on. But now, as we build up to the conference itself, that's also one of the highly contested positions. I mean, you look at people like your Paul Mashatile. At some point, we had someone younger being mentioned, Ronald Lamola.
Mabuza himself.
Yeah.
You know, before I get into that, let me finish with the presidency. You know, there were two other candidates. But I don't hear much said about them. Kosazana Dlamini Zuma. And Lindiwe Sisulu. When you look at all the lists, these leaders don't appear in these lists.
What does that say, though?
Branch 11. To me, it means that those leaders will not make it to be candidates.
Sure.
It's likely to be, the race is likely to be between Cyril and Zweli. Because the ANC is going to have three candidates. They are going to cut the list to three for every position, so that on the ballot box they are three.
Yes.
So it means there's going to be Zweli Mkhize and Cyril Ramaphosa on the list, but maybe one between between Nkosazana and Sisulu. Maybe one will be the third candidate. Depends. So those leaders are nowhere in the leagues to be found. I don't know at branch level, because what is important are the branches.
Yes.
Maybe at the branches, those leaders have mobilized. They will appear. Coming now to what you are asking about the deputy president.
Yes.
It's Mabuza there. It's Mashashile Paul, it's Mabuyane as well. There is Ronald Lamola and Mloko Kubai. So it's a whole crowd.
Yeah.
You know? But when you look at this, it looks like Mashatile is emerging.
Yeah.
Look at all the names. Mashatile is always mentioned.
Yeah.
It looks like Mashatile will be the deputy president of the ANC.
Sure.
That one is a possibility, whether somebody likes it or not.
What's so special about him? How does he get it right?
I think Mashatile, the fact that he acted for the Secretary General, he interacted with structures of the ANC as acting Secretary General. You know, there were many tasks he had to do to go to visit provinces physically. And also, during the provincial conferences,
he was a guest speaker.
He was always a guest speaker.
Yeah.
You know, when you are a guest speaker, you become familiar. Become familiar with
him. Oh, no, maybe this
and how you speak, how you address them, people will like you. Then they will put you there. Otherwise, I don't see him having lobbied provinces to say, I want to be. No, his name was there. But I doubt if he lobbied anybody. But people like him. So even if you look at all the structures, at the youth, they have him. He was elected at the NYTT unopposed. You know, nobody else. It means Ronald Lamola was not there.
Yeah.
Mamloko Kubai, David Mabuza, Eastern Cape Premier Mabuyane was not there. They just went for Paul Mashatile. So that one is highly contested, but there is one candidate who's appearing to be
a step ahead, also maybe
a step ahead of others.
Yes. Sure.
I wonder what's happening with Abo Ronald Lamola, Kubai, Mabuyane. It looks like Mabuyane is supported by Eastern Cape. Ronald Lamola is supported by Mpumalanga. It's a regional thing from what I see, because those people come from those
provinces. Yes,
maybe Mamluko Kubai supported maybe by Limpopo, where she comes from. I'm not sure, you know. But from what I hear from talking to people, because I interviewed several people, they said Mabuyane. Lamola, Mamluko Kubai. They are still young. They are young blood. They've got a lot of time ahead of them.
Sure.
So, for them to contest now, the feeling was that, no, they must wait. They have the future.
But then, when they eventually, you know, get elected, how old would they be by then?
Yeah, they would be in their 50s. Because right now they are in their
early 40s, mid-40s,
Mamloko might be 40. Ronald might be less than that. You know, and then Mabuyane might be in the 40s.
Yes.
You know,
the
mid-40s. You know, so.
You know why I'm asking that question? Because I'm reminded of when one reads history, you know, about the ANC, how the likes of Nelson Mandela, or in fact how that Youth League of your Mandela's was formed, right?
Yeah.
Used to have meetings at Walter Sisulu's house in Soweto, in St. Norman. We need to challenge this current leadership of the ANC because they're not moving with the times. Therefore, they don't understand what are the needs.
Exactly. Of the that's not happening.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. You know, Mandela, Sisulu, there was also
Tambo,
Oliver Tambo, and others. The way they pushed this and they succeeded.
Yeah,
you know, they took over the ANC in the 50s. You know, look at the list of the NYTT, which is the ANC youth league. On top, number one, Zweli Mkhize. Where is the youth there?
Yeah,
there was Paul Mashatile. Where is the youth there? They've got Stan Matabata. Is that a youth?
No.
They've got Secretary Fikile Mbalula. Maybe youth, but
I think he's
not
way,
so young. Because he comes from that generation of youth, But look at Nomvula Mokonyana as the deputy secretary.
Yes.
Look at Pule Mabe. Maybe Pule belongs to that generation of youth league.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality, they've got old people here. They don't push. I would understand if they said, okay, on top, let's have this leader. Because their leader, Nonceba Mhlawuli. Why is Nonceba not in the top six?
Does that also not tell you that that entity on its own, it's so divided?
It's divided.
Because I'm sure she would have preferred Cyril.
Yes.
But then the others...
Yeah, maybe Nonceba prefers Cyril.
Yeah.
But why Nonceba is not even deputy secretary?
Yes.
Or treasurer? Because ANC needs a fusion, some kind of injection of young blood. You know, leaders in the world, there is a trend now to move to the young blood.
Yeah.
For instance, Ronald Lamola. If Ronald Lamola becomes deputy president, you know, means he's the next president. It means South Africa will enter into this new trend.
Yes.
Young leaders.
Yes.
At the top. You know, but it looks like ANC has not yet accepted that. The fact that Mamoloko Kubayi and Ronald Lamola and Obiane are not really featuring in all this, it means they don't, ANC has not yet accepted the role of youth at the top. Maybe they want the youth to be additional members.
But also, does that also not then, I don't know, remind you of why then have a youth league on an interim basis for so long?
Yes.
Because if you go back a few years ago, when it was led by the likes of Julius Malema and Floyd,
Colin Maine, later.
Yeah. It used to be very outspoken, right?
Yes.
Vocal.
Yes.
They could actually take on that entire, you know, top six of the ANC.
Yes. That's exactly what they did under Malema. But in the current leadership, they are not sure about themselves because they are still an interim staff. It's a task team. Therefore, they have not been elected yet. You know, they are at the mercy, as they are, at the mercy of the ANC and NEC.
Yes.
They were appointed the NEC. Therefore, they must satisfy the NEC. You know. But I don't know. The youth of today are not as same as the youth of Oliver Tambo Mandela, Sisu, and all that. They are not the same youth as the 80s, like 80s and 90s, like Peter Mokaba, Mokaba and his leadership,
yes.
John C.
Yes.
And the one that followed, the Abu Malula, Malusi Gigaba. They are not like that. This youth now seems to be looking for positions for themselves, you know. They are not doing that challenging of the leadership.
We spent a lot of time on the deputy president position. Let's move to the SG, which is known and, you know, described as the engine room of the African National Congress. We know that currently Ace Magashule remains suspended. Paul Mashatile, you mentioned it earlier on, you know, has been playing sort of a dual role, you know, in occupying that SG position, you know, on a temporary basis, while focusing on his, you know, permanent position of TG. Now, we're heading to the conference. We hear of names like Fikile Mbalula, you know, coming up. Who else have you heard?
I heard of
KZN. KZN. Yeah.
Also heard Gwenrom Khoba, some structure have got Gwenrom Khoba. Others have got Phoebe Potrita.
Yes.
It revolves around those four or five people. And then Nomvula Mokonyana for deputy.
Deputy, yeah.
And then some slates Potrita for deputy. You know, from if you look at all the slates of different leagues, Mbalula seems to be a common denominator. You know, I don't know at branch level whether they want him, but I think the Veterans League, they want, I think, Phoebe Potfield, secretary, or they want Gwen Ramakoba. Yes, for secretary. The Women's League, I think they want Fikile Mbalula. So Fikile Mbalula seems to be
enjoying
support in various structures. But mind, Steve, these are just small structures.
Yes.
The leagues.
Yeah.
The leagues each has got 40 delegates. So it's small number. Therefore, then it may not necessarily reflect the overall
conference.
The overall outcome depends on branches. The branches should be 90% of the conference. And therefore, it means if you have support at branch level and not supported by the league, you may still win because it's there where the numbers are. So those that don't appear here, for instance, we talked about leaders that were contesting deputy president. Those people may still emerge from the branches.
Yes.
You know, because there are envelopes that are going to be delivered, I think this week, that are sealed. They come from branches.
Yeah.
Those envelopes don't go to the house. They come from the branches and they go straight to the electoral committee of the ANC, headed by Kgalema Motlanthe. You know, that's what we were told yesterday.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are going to open those envelopes. Once those envelopes are open, then we are going to have
a clearer picture
of who is
in the zoo.
So these leaks, things may just be a drop in an ocean.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that is the situation. So the president, the secretary general, revolves around Figile Mbalula. Mainly Mbalula seems to emerge all the time, but what if other provinces wanted Mdumiseni Ndude?
Yeah, that's another.
Eastern Cape, from what I understand, wants Mdumiseni Ndude. You know? Mdumiseni Ndude, I think there's some lobbying that happened in the Eastern, between the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal around secretary.
Shoo!
You know, and Mdumiseni Ndude has an experience of being the secretary. Because he was secretary of the KwaZulu-Natal for a very long time. And Mdumiseni Ndude doesn't seem to be tainted by factionalism from the way he led that province. Although the provinces automatically would support a KZN person, Mdumiseni, I saw him as more being neutral person, though he avoided being not a KZN person.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really seem to be embedded to factionalism. It would have been good for him to move to national as secretary general. And another thing, that there's a danger again that KwaZulu-Natal may not be represented in the top six. So yes, I should think about that, whether they should actually shun KwaZulu-Natal again.
Perhaps that's why Jacob Zuma is vying for the chairmanship position.
What a KZN person there, but he won't make it.
We'll get to that in just a while. And then there's also the name Nomvula Mokonyane that keeps also, you know, popping up. And particularly when one looks at the deputy secretary general position.
Yes. Yes. Nomvula seems to be very popular there, especially on the radical economic transformation, KZN for sure.
Yeah.
And then there are other structures that one Nomvula, for instance, the youth. Nomvula may emerge for the deputy. And if she emerges, if Mbalula, for instance, comes up as secretary and Nomvula, it's a good thing for the ANC that there must be RET people there. You can't afford to have all the non-RET Ramaphosa people under there. You must have
the balance of
this. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. Even for, if, for instance, Mdumiseni Ndude is there amongst the top six, and you have Nomvula Mokonyane,
yes,
then there is a balance. You know, but there is another danger that this conference may be won by one faction. If that faction is strong. That happened in Polokwane. The whole of Thabo Mbeki's slate was swept
out of, yes.
And the whole Zuma faction came. It means the whole country for 5 years or 10 years, it was run by one faction.
Yeah, no. Interesting stuff. And then there's that position of ANC chairman, the current chairman, Gwede Mantashe. He says, well, he's not that old, you know, he can still run, you know, for another term.
Yeah, I think he's in his 60s. Yeah. That's what he said. He says he wants to run 110 and retire.
Yeah.
But he may be late. Because Matabata is making some waves amongst the structures, amongst the branches. You know, Matabata from Limpopo If you look at the structures, his name appears in all the structures. I don't know in KZN. I think KZN.
I think KZN at some point, that
they have
if
him.
memory serves, yeah,
They have him.
Yeah.
If he is in, this is on the list of KZN, and he's on the list of Gauteng, he's on the list of Limpopo, Matawata is going to take it. You know? So there's a danger that Gwede may lose.
And we know Gwede and, you know, his character. It's not, he's not somebody who just wants to lose, right?
No, he wouldn't like that.
He wouldn't like that.
No, but he's likely to lose this time. Matawata will come up with full steam.
Could that mean then the end for him, if that happens for Gwede?
It could mean the end for him at the top. Remember, the ANC, once you lose in the top six, you still have got that number of votes. You get lowered to the additional members. Your vote may be counted. Your votes may be counted as an additional member. Yeah, so he may be in the additional members, but no longer at the top.
At the top.
So his influence will diminish. Once you are at the bottom, then your influence diminishes. Well, as national chairperson, he was very influential.
Mm-hmm.
He chaired meetings. He attended caucuses of the ANC in parliament and influenced them what direction
they must take. Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So Mandasha was one of the most influential people. And PT, he was more leaning towards Ramaphosa. He was Ramaphosa's leading man in this faction. But if he loses, it means Ramaphosa must recruit someone else there in the top six.
True.
Mandasha will be down. But we can't conclude that because the branches, they are still sealed envelopes. The sealed envelope may give us a different
picture
altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this game of politics, ne? Interesting stuff indeed. I'm not sure what else can we perhaps talk about. Oh, yes. Jacob Zuma.
Yes.
He wants the position of chairman.
Yes.
What do you think has actually informed that move, you know, for him wanting to become chairman at the age of, what, 80?
He's 80.
Yeah.
I don't think Jacob Zuma, in reality, he should retire. You know? He served, you know, in many positions in the ANC, at provincial level, at national, he was even deputy secretary general.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
He should just retire. He must accept that his time is over. Because he's not going to win there. Not at all. First of all, KZN doesn't want him. You know that. They didn't want his candidate. That is, he suggested Nkosazana. They said, no, can't bring us Nkosazana. We don't want him. He's not supported for that nomination by KZN. KZN has got someone else for chairman, not Zuma. If you are not supported by Zuma, which is his province, who else? You don't see Zuma in any other slate. Who's going to support him? He should just give up. I think what motivated him is the fact that he always wants to remain active in the ANC so that he doesn't get behind in the NEC matters.
Oh.
So that he is able to make
influence,
noise.
Yes.
Influence and make noise, the kind of noise that he likes to make, you know, outside of the ANC. He wants to still remain relevant. It's a question of wanting to remain relevant. But you can still remain relevant by working outside. Maybe he's relevant. He's working outside, you know. I don't understand why he wants to still be a leader. He's an elder of the ANC.
Yes.
Elders must just give to the
advice and
yes.
Sure.
So that thing really, I don't understand now. Another thing that I wanted to mention here,
yes,
that I think we needed to check. There are certain names that I wanted to discuss that were raised. The veterans have got the name of Joel Netshitenze.
Oh.
Yeah. For, I think it's National Chairperson. Yeah.
And so, that name.
When that name comes up, it makes you think.
Yeah.
It makes you stand and
yeah. Think. But that name.
Joel is a veteran of the ANC.
Hand in hand, right?
working hand in hand.
Yes, Becky.
He's from Exile as well. He's a think tank of the ANC. He's a strategist.
Yeah.
He comes from that. He's one of the crosses of the old generation to the new generation. Mm-hmm. He still has got those original values of the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
At some stage in the 90s, it was said that Joel Richardson is the future president of the ANC. I don't know what happened to that. I think that thing was actually deleted. If I may use the new term.
Mm.
That situation was deleted by Polokwane.
Mm.
You know, Polokwane just decided to just change the course of the ANC politics to factionalism. But Joel really is highly respected. If he can return to the ANC in the top six, that's very important for the ANC, you know.
Mm.
Even for him to contesting for the presidency in the future, you know. But I understand Joel is not the kind of a leader who is power hungry, interested in positions. Even now, I won't be surprised, even in this one, he stands up at the conference and says, I'm declining.
Yeah.
You know, that man, see, would like to work behind the scenes.
He's
a true strategist.
Yes.
You know, even when he speaks, he doesn't really talk about a position for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it really would have been nice if ANC today or next time was led by the likes of
Joel
Chitense.
Wow.
It would be kind of restoration somehow of the old values of the ANC, the old culture of ANC that was infused in the party by Oliver Tambo in exile. That culture is gone. Mbeki tried to have it, to keep it, but Mbeki was defeated by the tsunami in Polokwane.
Yeah.
You know, so that culture of the ANC now is gone.
It's gone.
It remains with Mbeki somehow, remains with Joel and Chitense, but in reality,
it's gone.
It's gone.
Eric, we can spend the whole day talking about the ANC, but obviously this is not the last time that I'm sure there's going to be a couple of conversations that we're still going to have building up to the conference as well at the end of the year. But thank you so much, as always, for making time to chat to us.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Folks, it's been another edition of The Citizen Talk. We're back again next Friday. Between now and then, you take good care of yourselves. Bye.